There are moments or maybe even seasons of time in life where things seem unsettled. Dramatic or headline moments, but sometimes it's the quiet kind. You know, when plans don't go just how you expected, or when something you thought was solid now maybe seems a little bit shaky. Maybe you're not sure what's next and you don't like that feeling. We don't like that feeling. Maybe you've had that recently. Maybe you're feeling that right now. Maybe you're waking up and going through your day, but underneath there's this low-level question that's nagging at you. Where is this going? Or am I okay? Is everything going to hold together? Is everything going to work out? And it's that kind of a moment that Jesus steps into here in John 14. The disciples are unsettled, right? Jesus is talking about leaving. I mean, they've gone through this roller coaster. He's dead, he's gone, he's arose, he's with us, and now he's talking about leaving again. And their expectations are, again, maybe unraveling. And into that moment, that time right there, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Not because there's nothing wrong, but because something greater is true. This morning, we're going to see that Jesus gives his people three anchors in uncertain times, right? He gives us the anchor of a place. He gives us a people, and he gives us a promise. I was so happy that the alliteration worked today. So first off, he lets us know that in a troubled world, there's a steady voice for us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, notice what he does not say. He doesn't say, it's okay, there's nothing to worry about. He doesn't say, it's okay, everything's going to go your way. He doesn't say, hey, just keep a happy face and be positive. No, he didn't say that. You know, that's the empty promise of a prosperity gospel to manipulate and use God like a giant vending machine. And if you just have enough faith, everything will go right. You'll be rich and have everything you want and have perfect everything. Jesus doesn't speak into that. And instead, he gives a different direction, a path for their trust. Because for anybody and everybody, trouble is sometimes real. But so is God. You know, it'd be like flying an airplane. Now, I've flown an airplane several times, not a whole lot, but I've only had one time when there was turbulence. You know, and that's a little unnerving. It really is. I don't know if you've experienced that. You know, going all of a sudden, you're rumbling. And in fact, one time we dropped. Like, the plane just, like, dropped. I don't know how far, but you could feel it, right? And you can see this little bit of unease just kind of settle through the cabin, right? It was like, you know, kind of a thing. People get nervous. But what makes a difference in that moment isn't that the turbulence exists or not. It's whether you do you trust the pilot. You don't see him. You don't control the plane. But at some level, you're trusting, yes, there's somebody up there that has it and is in control. And what Jesus is telling here is that you may feel the shaking in this life. You may feel the rumblings. You may feel the turmoil, the cataclysm even sometimes of this life. But But you can trust the one who is holding you. And sometimes it may not be just a huge crisis either, right? I mean, some of us sometimes get into a slow drift of anxiety. And Jesus doesn't shame that. He redirects it. Believe in God, believe also in me. He gives us a focus. Jesus is a person, tangible, relatable. He says, see me. Look to me, and you see the Father. And we can trust him. Now, if Jesus is asking for a trust, what exactly is he offering us? He's offering a place prepared. He tells us there in John, in my house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. People often turn to this in times of trouble. It's a very comforting promise. But I think we often misunderstand it. Jesus is not describing real estate here. I've heard sermons. I've been places where people talk about, I can hardly wait for the mansion that I'm going to get. It's going to be awesome. It's going to have rooms. It's going to have chandeliers. It's going to have this hot tub. On and on and on. It's not real estate, folks. He's talking about relationship and belonging. Heaven is not the main attraction. It's Jesus. That's what he said. He said that you'll be with me. I'm going so that you may be where I am. That's the prize, people. It's not this wonderful clouds in the sky thing. It's Jesus. And if that's where your focus is, that is going to be what gets you through. It's not just, that's somewhere where you'll get to be someday and it'll be okay. You get to be with Jesus. And that makes sense because that's what the disciples were concerned about. We want to be with you, Jesus. Where are you going? Show us where you're going. And we'll go there. It's kind of like, you know, during holiday time and family starts pouring in from various places. It's not the house that matters. It's the people who are there in the house. I'm not excited to go back and see my aunt and uncle's place on the lake. I mean, it's great. I like it. I want to see my aunt. I want to see my cousins. That's what the draw is. That's what it's about. And that's the picture that Jesus is painting here. Not, well, if you qualify and check all the boxes, you might get in. But I am preparing a place because you belong to me. We are family. We hear that echo in the Psalm 31, didn't we? Into your hands I commit my spirit. That whole psalm is wonderful. You know, if you read the whole thing about, you know, awful things is going on, and yet I trust in you. In you I take refuge. I trust in you. That psalm talks about the abundant things and good things that he has stored up for us. Psalm tells us the shelter of his presence. And the reality that he hears us when we cry out to him. And when life is uncertain, when we have doubts or fears, this can anchor us. We're not wandering aimlessly, that we are moving towards something. Moving toward a prepared place with a personal Savior. But the disciples still didn't get it, did they? And then Thomas brings it out and he says, okay, show us how to get there. Right? That's what he wanted. Okay, that sounds wonderful. Give us a map, so to speak. But Jesus tells us here that this way, it's a way, not just directions. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Thomas wanted a roadmap. And Jesus gives him himself. Christianity is not about finding the right path. Right? There's all these different options, and you want to get the right one. It's about following the right person. And he gives it, it's so, this way he breaks it down is great. He breaks it, he says, I am the way. If you want access to God, if you want to see the Father, know the Father, come to me. He says, I am the truth. If you want to know God, if you want to see who he is, what he's about, come to me. See me. If you want to have life, the life of God himself, then come to me. I am the life. It'd be like if you're lost somewhere and you go to your phone to find directions and there's no signal. You have no idea where you are, which way to go. And somebody comes up to you and says, yeah, that's okay. Tell you what. Follow me, I'll show you. Just follow me, I'll get you there. I'm heading that way anyway, whatever. Follow me. That's what Jesus offers. We're not going to know, turn left here, turn right there. We're not going to know, oh, there's a pothole there, there's a roadblock here. He just says, follow me and you'll get there. Trust me and you'll get there. It's not information. It's relationship. We often treat Jesus like a consultant. We look to the Bible as if a self-help book. Give me some advice. Help me improve my plan. I want to know exactly what I need to do, the steps, and give me the steps and points and I'll get there. He doesn't offer a consultation. He offers himself. He offers leadership. He doesn't say, well, try this one and see how it goes. He says, follow me. Know me. That's why it's so important. In our Bible reading and things like that, you find yourself going back to the Gospels often. Read his words, his sayings. See what he did, how he did, the people he interacted with, how he interacted with people. Who he rebuked, who he forgave. That is the way to go. And that's what he offers. He says, know me. Come to me and you'll find the way. So, if Jesus then is the way, I think we can agree that that's true. What happens then to those who follow him? What is the result of putting your trust here and how does it go? And that's where the reading of 1 Peter comes into play today. He describes us as living stones being built into a spiritual house. The Peter reading kind of shifts the focus from our individual belief to a shared identity. That's what I mentioned this morning here. That when you are come to Jesus, you're not just a saved person. But you are being formed into a people. The church isn't a place you go. It's something God is building, and you are part of that building. And he gives us these four identity statements. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. These are the sources, the foundations of our very identity. And that's an important question that we have to face. What is the primary anchor of who you are? Because once you have that, that shows us and influences how we live, the decisions we make, how we spend our money, the things that we do, all of it. What you read, what you talk about, how you identify yourself to people, how people see you, how people know you. And then today, what you want out there is, I'm a Christian. So much of our world seeks to distinguish identities by various things. Could be race. People do that. could be political affiliation, it could be our nation, patriotism, whatever that may be, and those are fine things. But in Jesus calling us, he asks us to surrender those identities and be identified with him. I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus. And all who follow Jesus are my people. That's who are my people. And it's not their color or their race or their ethnicity or where they're from or the government they're under or the way they vote or anything else. It's Jesus. You know, a single brick does not accomplish much on its own, does it? It's a handy doorstop. You can squash a bug with it. Chuck it through a window. That's about it. But when those bricks are put together, one by one, aligned, connected, they form something. They form something strong. They can form something beautiful. And that is what God is doing with us. We are those bricks being put together. And that's what people see. People see a single brick, they're going, eh, okay. We go to a great building that's been built up with bricks. It's amazing. That's what God is doing with us. He's building a kingdom. And that's what we are part of. Faith is never meant to be private or isolated or individualistic. You're part of something bigger. You know, not just, you know, part of Trinity Evangelical Church. Not just part of maybe the churches that are here in Fenimore or the churches that are here in Wisconsin. You are connected to the world. You have brothers and sisters around the world who have that same common connection. And maybe you experienced that. I have at various times in my life. I remember I was at a coffee shop in New York City. And I was in Manhattan. And I just noticed this person in front of me was wearing a cross. I just said, hey, that's really cool. I like that. It was had a nice pattern, whatever. And then we got to talking, and it turns out he was from, I can't remember where now, somewhere in Africa. And he was a Christian. And then all of a sudden, everything changed between us. And I told him why I was in New York City. I was with a group, we're working, doing a ministry down there. And it was great. We had this bond, our identity. It's a lot like, you know, I was in London, and, you know, I was by myself for a moment, and I came across someone, and I came across another American. You could tell right away. It's pretty obvious when you talk to somebody. But I was like, oh, cool. You know, there's somebody I know. I can bond with them. I had that here. It's our identity. It's who we are, and we can be part of something that's much, much bigger than ourselves. But being part of God's people doesn't mean life becomes easy. In fact, sometimes it can be harder. But that's when we come to a faith that stands under pressure. That reading from Acts today is powerful. I don't know if I noticed when it was read, we got to the end part, and I was like, oh, it struck me. And it seemed like it struck you too. There was like a moment there, right? I mean, Stephen's being executed. He's about to be stoned, which is an awful way to die, I would think. But he sees something. And what does he see? He sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Not sitting back and just arms crossed and watching. He's standing. He's there. He's identifying with Stephen. He says, I'm here for you. I'm standing with you. He's not distant, he's present, he's attentive, he is up and able and wants to be near to you, whatever is happening. And then there's Stephen's shocking response. He said, Father, don't hold this against them. They have falsely accused him. They're going to stone him. They're about to gather rocks. and throw them at him until he's dead. Stephen knows what that is. And in that moment, we may expect him to say, Lord, enact your justice. Lord, save me. Lord, bring down on them what they deserve. And not a person here would blame them for those words coming out of his mouth. But what he says is forgive them. In that moment, he had a clarity. He had a clear view of his identity, of who he really was. In that moment, when he saw Jesus, it all came together for him. It all made sense. He realized he didn't have to fight. He didn't have to push back. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to call down curses on his enemies. Quite the opposite. In seeing Jesus and his enemy, him, he saw those who were coming against him, and he saw them like Jesus saw them. He realized that Jesus loves them. Jesus wants to draw them to him. And Stephen did not want to be in the way of that. He said, don't hold this against him, Lord. I imagine, you know, because Stephen was a bit of an evangelist. That's why he got in trouble. He wanted them to know Jesus too. He wanted them to see that Jesus as he saw them. And in that moment, and they heard him. It's recorded. Can you imagine? Imagine that kind of love. We can't imagine that love. It's the very love that Jesus gives to us every moment of every day. It's the same response Jesus had in that same kind of situation. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That identity, that foundation of a people and a place and a promise anchored Stephen in the darkest of times. That's the difference between someone who cares, that you know cares, and someone who shows up. He didn't just believe in Jesus. He knows that he's standing with him. Some of you today or have experienced or certainly will have heavy things in your life. And this reminds us that Jesus is present. He's there. He's with you. He's not passive. He's not sitting back saying, hey, you're almost there. Come on. He's with you. Remember this. Tell yourself this. Exert whatever will you might have. And saying, I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't understand it. But I know Jesus is with me. And that's enough. And that leads us to one more promise. Not just future hope. Not just present comfort. But purpose. Purpose right now. There's the promise of presence and of power. Jesus made a startling statement. He says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I'm doing and even greater. That sounds almost unbelievable. But Jesus pointed to something that's so powerful, that through his people, his work continues. Now, we might make sure we're clear here. I do not think that greater works simply means more impressive miracles. That we are going to go out there and, you know, we see an accident on the side of the road, a car accident, and Amos is there and someone has died. And I'm going to walk up there and say, rise! could happen. I'm not telling God what to do ever. I know folk who think along those lines. When they read those words, they kind of get a little bit arrogant and say, well, it says, so, therefore, if someone brushes the hem of my garment, they should be healed. And usually it's followed with something like, so send me $1,000 and, you know, God will help you with that. I think what it means is a wider reach, more people, expanding mission. What's greater is that it's not just this little isolated tiny place in the Middle East, but his work is going to grow and grow with his people, and his bricks are going to be placed one by one by one by one until it encompasses the entire world. That is awesome. And we are part of that. We are continuing his work. We're not a people sitting back and waiting either to be reunited with him in death or for him to return. We have purpose. We are sent into this world. He says, ask in my name and you will be answered. Now, this is not a formula. Again, there are people who think that. You know, if I tack the words in Jesus' name at the end of whatever it is I have, it has to happen. Because that's what it says. It's not a formula for me to get what I want. It's an alignment. Alignment with Jesus and his mission. When I say in Jesus' name, I'm saying I'm aligned with the purposes and will of Jesus. And I'm following him there. Whatever and wherever that is. We have to ask ourselves, are we living our lives like spectators, waiting for heaven, or are we participants in the work right now? Are we sitting on the bench, watching the game unfold? Or are we in the game, getting dirty, getting sweaty, getting hurt, sacrificing ourselves, dedicating ourselves to training and doing what needs to be done to win? Are we following and identifying with Jesus right now? So as we bring this together, as we see and live in a world that just feels uncertain, wars, economy, culture, politics, natural disasters, whatever it may be, Jesus gives us a place. You belong to him. You are aligned with him. He gives us a way. Not just directions, but a person to follow. He gives us a people that we are built and raised up together. And he gives us a promise. A promise that he is with you and he's working through you. It'd be like moving into a home that's already prepared. You walk in, your name is on the door. The furniture's there, there's a fire in the fireplace, there's food in the being prepared in the kitchen, and there's a person there waiting for you, greeting you, welcoming you, bringing you in. That's what Jesus has done. He's ready, he's with you, and he's calling us to follow him. So today, if your heart is troubled in any way today, trust him. I know it's a big ask sometimes. I understand. But somewhere in your will, in your just, like, I believe, help me in my unbelief kind of a term, Don't give up. Surrender to Him and trust Him. You feel lost. You're not sure what's going to happen. You're not sure where you're going. What's next? Follow Him. Just follow and be with Him. If you feel lost, if you feel alone, lean into His people. Find them. Be with them. Talk to them. Have them around you. If you feel uncertain, not sure what's next or what to do, step into His mission. You know, I always remember having students in college, you know, especially if they're getting towards graduation, and always asking me, I want to have God's will. I want to know God's will. What do I do? What do I do? I don't know. And I always say, well, I don't either. But whenever I get somewhere where I don't know what I should do, I always go to those things that I do know I should do. There are some things that are clear. There are some things that are quite easy in understanding what Jesus wants from us. And if you're not sure, do what you know. Jesus says, you know, follow me. And what does that mean? Well, help people. Reach out to people. Be kind. Forgive. Someone needs food, give them food. If they need clothes, give them clothes. If they need somewhere to live, help them out with that. If they're sick, help them to get to where they can get better. What, you know what I mean? These are the mission of Jesus that He shows us as we read the Gospels, and we can do those things too. And often in that, we're following, and then all of a sudden, we've taken several turns, and we get to a place where, oh, that's where we are. That's what God wants in this moment. But it is a step of faith and trust. What you're doing today, if we think about it, put it in that context or lens of seeing that, what am I doing that is furthering His kingdom? How am I being placed in this building? And it can be anything we're doing. We're farming, we're going to school, we're retired, whatever it is. Today, in this moment, if I'm confused or wondering, what am I doing now in this moment that will further God's mission that I am a part of? Because it may feel like you're drifting. It may feel like you're out of control, but you're not. You're being held. You are known, and you are being built, and you're being sent. That is happening right now. If we can, like Stephen, open our eyes and see Jesus standing with us as we believe in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that we know that You are with us. And God, I ask for each one here right now for a knowledge of Your presence that maybe they've never felt before. To know that You are standing there with us and that we can trust You. That no matter the chaos that may be around us, in You there is peace. We trust You. We love You. Help us, O God, in our unbelief sometimes. And I thank You for it all in Jesus' name. Aligned with Your purpose, for Your glory. Amen.